People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by BunnySlippers.com, FoundItemClothing.com. Keep your feet warm this winter with slippers from BunnySlippers.com. And also, why not make your torso look super cool with a screen-accurate shirt from some of your favorite cult films, FoundItemClothing.com. And Patreon. Why not check out Patreon.com/PGTTCM. Be a cool dude or a rad dude or whatever our pledge names are. Let's edit that part out. Beep! Patreon.com/PGTTCM. Check it out and, I don't know, donate $5 a month, dollar a month, or whatever you want. Alright, thank you so much. Patreon.com. Help keep the show going by visiting our sponsors. And, yeah. And People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is also part of the Dark Myths Collective. Check out the Dark Myths Collective for a collection of different podcasts of a spooky nature or political or intriguing or whatever. Darkmyths.org. Let's go.
609, Series 6, Episode 9. Galaki, Weird Book Number 36, and Cancer Id. Check out the website at pgttcm.com, pgttcm.podbean.com, and remember to rate, review, and subscribe to PGTTCM on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Greetings, listener. It is I, Lobelia Warren Spitzer, here to talk to you once again about the Cthulhu mythos, its books, its monsters, its unfortunate human casualties, its timeline in general, and even its tangential bits, like the dreamlands or things of a weird nature or things that are Lovecraftian leaning. Once more, we head into those dark woods. Once again, we walk down the lightless stone staircase in the middle of nowhere.
All right. People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos recently was at the
H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival and CthulhuCon
in Portland, Oregon.
Woo!
Can you say CthulhuCon, not shout it into the microphone this time?
CthulhuCon.
Thank you. That hurt my ears.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Probably shouldn't lean in then.
Yeah, and we are talking as Daniel Spitzer and Seraphie, not as our counterparts. The podcast, and we had a really, really good time.
So much fun.
We were there for 3 days.
The whole 3 days.
Normally, I get burnt out after 2 days by trying to watch all the shorts blocks and running around to all the panels.
I wish we'd seen more films, but it was okay. The con itself was awesome, too.
Yeah, I was there for CthulhuCon, because that's more of the literary event than the film festival.
I mean, we did have to hang out with a lot of authors.
Yeah, and poets.
It was really fun.
And poets, yeah.
Lots of poets, yeah.
Yeah. Any highlights that you want to talk about this year?
I really enjoyed Pikmin's Apprentice, which you participated in.
I did. I got to draw a Mego in the desert transforming.
Yeah.
So I drew a Mego in the Black Rock Desert transforming while Burning Man went on in the background.
It was a really fun challenge. I liked that this year apparently they changed it up by having all of the artists have a different challenge.
Sure.
To draw. I really enjoyed all of the artwork being created right in front of me. That was really fun. And I also enjoyed the panel that you chaired about art and the Cthulhu mythos.
Yes. Yes. I was on a panel that contained Leave Rainey Smith and Heather Hudson talking about drawing or illustrating or art in the Cthulhu mythos or drawing weird things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was drawing the unnameable is what the name of it.
Yeah, pretty much, because
something like that.
A lot of the descriptions of the gods and other unique characters to the mythos are like very subtle or vague, and trying to depict that, as anybody can think who's read the books or stories or are thinking about how something looks, it's pretty complicated. It takes a lot of imagination. So it's really interesting to see how people talk about that.
Definitely. Definitely. And some other things that were fun, that one thing I really enjoyed is Sam's Billiards, which is really, really close to the EOD Center, normally the Hollywood Senior Center, but one weekend they every October it turns into the Esoteric Order of Dagon Center. Mm-hmm. And right next to that is Sam's Billiards. So you can just pretty much cross over there and do meet and greets with people. And there was a poetry reading hosted by Hippocampus Press.
Which, right.
If you listened to the last episode, you would have heard that.
Most of it.
Yeah, most of it.
And the billiard ball is very atmospheric.
Oh, yes. Yes. Nothing spookier than billiards. But Derek Hussey of Hippocampus Press was cool enough to provide drink tickets so that we could get absinthe.
Yeah.
And it was good.
It was very thoughtful.
Yeah, yeah. And
there were also turkey roll-up sandwiches.
Turkey, yeah. And a particular podcaster brought a lot of donuts.
Yeah. Who was that?
I don't know. Probably me.
That was you.
We also were treated to the poetry stylings of Ashley Diosis and K.A. Opperman and Adam Boulevard, or however Adam pronounces his name. Adam, please correct me about this sometime. You're Portland. You can do that. All right.
Man, okay, so there was one panel I did not get to see, but you did, that I wanted to hear about, which was the panel about the Dreamlands.
Oh, it was really, really cool.
Heather Hudson was on that one,
Heather
too.
Heather Hudson, also Scott Glancy was there.
Mm.
And Nathan Carlson, and author of, what was that book that you just got recently?
Oh, the one where your face literally explodes?
Not that one, the other
one. Oh, the one in the desert. I don't remember.
Star something.
Yeah, it's in my Instagram.
Okay, so check our Instagram, and it's going to be on there. But author Nathan Carson, Kenneth Haidt, Adam Scott Glancy, and Heather Hudson were on an amazing panel about the Dreamlands.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I saw a really, really, really good small press. Another panel I went to was Small Press and Lovecraft, which was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Rose O'Keefe, who from Eraserhead Press.
Oh, she was great. She was on the panel about women in the Cthulhu mythos as well.
Yes. Yes, she was.
Mm-hmm. That was a really awesome panel.
Yep. There was Andrew S. Fuller, Ross E. Lockhart of Word Horde, Sean Hode of Sean Hode, and the...
Oh, Cody Goodfellow.
Yeah, the unspeakable horror that is Cody Goodfellow. Yeah. Ask if you ever meet Cody Goodfellow, ask him how he won tickets to Oingo Boingo, and you will see the scariest face you have ever witnessed. It's a fact.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he really win tickets to Oingo Boingo?
Yes, he put all of his fingers in his mouth, and it's scary. It's scary.
Well, seeing the inside of somebody's skull is always a little off-putting.
Oh, true.
Man, I have to say, it was a fun weekend all around.
Yeah, no. We had women in the Cthulhu mythos. Women in Lovecraft fiction.
Oh,
but I think
me.
It was more like women in weird fiction, bizarro fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it mostly was concentrating on people who were creating the mythos, not the characterizations.
Yes, yes. And we had Anya Martin.
Oh, she was the moderator.
Yes, she was. And Rose O'Keefe, who we mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Leave Rainey Smith, who one of my favorite printmakers, and also part of Pickman's Apprentice,
mm-hmm.
and the panel I moderated on...
art.
No. Yes, art. Art. I was like, wait a minute, did I moderate that one? And it was
yes, you did.
I was...
were the steersman.
Yeah, yes. And in the first night, I was on a panel with a bunch of people talking about the Cthulhu mythos. It was a primer,
mm-hmm.
getting people indoctrinated into the Cthulhu mythos.
Yeah, Liv wasn't on that panel, though.
No, she was not. I was just trying to think of the other panel that I was on. Oh, yes, yes.
But Cody Goodfellow was on that first panel.
Sure he was. So was
and it was the first panel.
It was the first panel of the convention.
Yep.
Yes. But also, Women in Lovecraft Fiction panel also had Michael Griffin and Ross E. Lockhart. So yeah, there was a lot of really, really good panels. And if you ever go to the film festival and you get a little bit burnt out, go over to the Esoteric Order of Dagon Center and definitely check out what the different publishers are hawking. Generally, you'll find Ross there, you'll find Derek there, and you'll find a bunch of other people there.
Mm-hmm. Amazing artists.
Oh, yeah.
Great, really cool great books.
Artists. Yep.
Jewelry.
Jewelry. Sometimes you'll find Chaosium there. And if you go to the theater, those super cool guys from the HPL HS are there. And we got to watch part of a radio drama.
Oh, yeah. A Dark Adventure Radio Theater.
Yeah, of Thing on the Doorstep.
Mind control.
Yes.
And switching bodies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. It was really well done.
Oh, yeah.
And then later you saw a panel on how to turn a story into a radio drama.
Well, it was mostly what it was. It was about radio dramas of the golden age. It was a bunch of old guys and old at heart guys talking about, old radio dramas. And there was one that... Adam Scott Glancy recommended that I listen to as soon as I got home about a roughneck who works the oil fields, and he tells a story of what happened 20 years ago about some stuff and how he found a gold ring in a part of the earth that shouldn't even have anything like a gold ring.
Ooh.
Ooh, indeed. The Thing on the Forble. Which was an episode of Quiet Please. But yeah, that there was a lot of movies. You saw some short films.
Yes, I did.
Not nearly as many as you wanted
to. No, I saw Shorts Block 1 and the last half of Shorts Block 6. And Shorts Block 1 was really good. There was this short film called Cecilia about this blind girl and some priests, which was pretty intense. I mean, frankly, they were all very intense. Although my favorite was, I think it's called Message. It was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And the librarian from Miskatonic University has called you up to leave a message saying that you've checked out the wrong book.
Good to know.
Please
Good
return know. It unopened.
Yeah. Is there any other cool things that you remember about I mean, besides all the great stuff, all the fun people we met, hung out with.
Oh, yeah. That was really fun.
There was a lot of eating, going out to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We found some good good German food.
Yeah.
It was a really fun weekend. For me, it was a really fun way to get more familiar with more of an in-depth look at the Cthulhu mythos in general.
Yeah.
And also, like, the way that people use it in everyday life,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe like more of their imagination, the way the artists depict it, talking to people who were into it. It was really interesting for me.
Yeah.
It was more of getting into the culture, if you will.
Oh, sure, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, like, hearing the way that people talked about what was and wasn't in the, like, the during the primer for the panel you were on at the beginning.
Sure.
The primer for the Cthulhu mythos, and also when they were talking about women in the Cthulhu mythos, it made me realize that there are some authors and some, like, books that I have consumed that are already very adjacent to. Like, for instance, Octavia Butler. I had no idea. She's one of my favorite authors.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely weird fiction.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the series about aliens that come and mess with our genetics and have squiggly arms for sex. Very mythosy.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that's it for us talking about the HPL Film Festival, Portland, Oregon, every October, generally the first weekend. So check it out. I think it's going to be 4th, 5th, 6th next year, or 3rd, 4th, 5th next year.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mark it on my calendar.
Already marked it on mine.
Woohoo!
All right. Okay, so up next we're going to be talking about some inhabitant in a lake, and we're also going to be talking about...
More Glacky?
Glacky. And then we're going to be talking about a book from S.C. Burke.
Id Cancer.
I.D. Cancer.
Oh, really?
No, you're right.
It's
right.
Id Cancer.
It's Id Cancer.
On with the show. This week we shall be talking about Glacky. Glacky first appeared in The Inhabitant of the Lake in 1964, an early story by Ramsey Campbell. Recently, this being featured in Campbell's The Last Revelation of Galaki in 2013. In Cthulhu Mythos Fiction, Galaki is a great old one and dwells within a lake in the Severn Valley near Brychester in England, though he has been reported in other lakes around the world. Galaki has the appearance of an enormous slug covered with metallic spikes which, despite their appearance, are actually organic growths. Galaki can also extrude tentacles with eyes at the tips, very useful, allowing him to peer from underneath the water. It is believed that he came to the Earth imprisoned inside a meteor. When the meteor landed, Galaki was freed, and the impact created the lake where he now resides. Galaki is an ancient and wise creature with a vast knowledge of other beings which are active in Britain's Severn River Valley, such as Yegolanak, the denizens of Shagulhul, Shub Nigarath, Eichort, and Beatus. The cult's holy book, known as the Revelations of Galaki, was written by his cult, which gleaned sorcerous knowledge from their master. While the original text was reportedly written in 11 loose-leaf notebooks by various unidentified contributors, the 1865 edition, published by the Matterhorn Press of Highgate, is contained in 9 volumes. Highgate is the part of London that contains the cemetery. Described as edited, organized, and corrected, a small edition printed exclusively for subscribers is now extremely rare. By driving one of his spines into a victim and injecting a special fluid, Galaki can turn the unfortunate into an undead slave. An undead slave. However, if the spine is broken off before the fluid is injected, the victim dies anyway, but is at least spared the fate of becoming one of Galaki's slaves. The injected fluid produces growths throughout the victim's body that allow Galaki to manipulate the subject's corpse. Many people come to serve Galaki willingly in exchange for the promise of eternal life. What they don't realize is that he makes good on his promise by driving his spines into them, turning the worshipper into one of his undead slaves. As time passes, the undead creatures become increasingly sensitive to sunlight and even begin to suffer damage from it. The servants of Galaki refer to this condition as the green decay. By the time an undead slave becomes prone to this, it no longer looks or acts like a normal human being. The Revelations of Galaki first appeared in Ramsey Campbell's short story, The Inhabitant of the Lake. It was written by the undead cult worshipping the great old one Galaki. Whenever Galaki slept, the members of the cult had periods of free will, and since they were part of Galaki and shared his memories, they wrote down what they remembered of their master's thoughts. The cult's handwritten manuscripts later came to be known as the Revelations of Galaki. The text originally contained 11 volumes, 9 in the carefully abridged published edition, but it may have had more at different times in the past. Rumor has it that mythos scholar Antonios Quinn once published a corrected edition of the Revelations of Galaki, bound in a single volume.
Arriving at the place that resembles the crossroads where Mr. Johnson traded his soul to the devil for the gift of the blues, miles and miles of dense fields of misery, all swaying towards on an epicenter that shoots up into tall pillars of ancient trees. Old and wise to the game, they embody the darkest and meanest of forests, a madhouse of a jungle that abhors everything that comes within its range. I can feel it seething and surging through my veins, and a frenzy flush of visions course through me like poison. That was a little bit of ID Cancer by S.C. Burke. Doesn't really give you much of an idea of what the story's about, but it does give you an idea of the mood and the tone. And that is something that is quite prevalent in this short, small press novelette. ID Cancer by S.E. Burke, Mood and Tone. It's very experimental in its writing, much like the Zach A. Ferguson bit that I did the other day. And just like Zach's book, It is by Nihilism Revisited. So I definitely check out Nihilism Revisited. They've got a lot of good authors. But let's talk a little bit more about this. And just to get off track a little bit, next episode we will have a little bit of Zach A. Ferguson reviewing my review. So, yes. A little bit of an Ouroboros there, a snake eating its own tail. It just keeps on going, and then maybe I'll review Zach's review, and then Zach can review my review. Anyway, please come along, take this ride with me. A deep venture past the depths of hell and on to the ugly abyss of madness. Please take a ticket, I've got several. Follow me into the grand hallways of my destructive psyche and on to the dining hall that is my ego, where we shall feast on the architecture, from the floor to the wall to the ceiling. I welcome you to join me as I touch the spectral finger of absolute chaos. I can guarantee the sights I have to share with you will alter your perception of truths of reality, as I know they have mine. Let's change it all together, as one. Writer S.C. Burke puts experimental writing through the gauntlet of his own mind, and what comes out is absolutely cosmic. Readers are blasted through a shotgun straight into the story of John Doe, a man lost amongst the depths of madness. And even more so, John Doe is the embodiment of pure chaos, that certain kind of chaos that creates the universe. In the process of shedding his human vessel, John Doe finds himself in the midst of dangers that surpass Dante's venture into the Inferno. And where he goes, nobody truly knows. One thing is certain, the man without an identity, moving like a cancer of creation, turned malignant. Yeah, definitely check out Id Cancer by S.E. Burke. I believe I talked about one of Burke's poems in, oh goodness, that Swedish Gents magazine, Michael Fawn, something fiction, Feverish Fiction number 5, I believe, if we want to get a whole bunch of alliteration in there, a bunch of sounds. Yes, check out more of Burke's work. And let me read a little more for you. All around me, plumes of twists of milky metallic clouds filled with vaporized liquids, teal and aqua-colored gases bathe out of the incandescent core of red vapor. I dip into the gaseous waves and ride the helix like high tides of planet Earth. Cosmic surfing on the Odin Nebula, showers of sparkling light bursts splash against my face. Hot gases burn the ice from the soles of my feet as I cut and curve the thickening walls of intergalactic smog. Greenish-blue clouds of helium and hydrogen swirl into a maelstrom of nuclear fission, collecting into a radiant mass of energy that fuels a spark of creation, the birth of a new star in the place of an old. Right before my eyes, I stalk the shadows until they become too heavy to occupy, then dive headfirst into the center. As it blossoms out of an explosion of infancy, imprisoned in the core, I fuse my veins with the star's heart and slowly bleed droplets of poisonous iron into the beast. A parasite called man. Gravity of the soul. Weight of the terminally ill. S.E. Burke, Id Cancer. Check it out, please. Just a reminder before we get too terribly far. We are still sponsored by BunnySlippers.com and FoundItemClothing.com. One of the cool things about this podcast is I get free stuff all the time. One of the things that I get free on a regular basis is Weird Book. I'm not obligated to review it. I'm not even obligated to read it. But I do. Why? Because it's a good magazine. One of the things that I really like about it is the versatility and the, oh, not the versatility, the vastness, the diversity of the authors, the writers, all of the various people who write stuff. And it's not just horror, it's not just the Cthulhu mythos, it's not just sword and sorcery, it's a wide variety of things. And I highly recommend it. There's quite a bit of poetry, none by K.A. Opperman, oddly enough. I'm surprised. But there is quite a bit from Chad Hensley, who I have to say is quite the poet, and I enjoy his work. On the back cover, Daryl Schweitzer, who I featured in an early episode, has a Great Old Ones to the melody of Kumbaya. No, I am not going to shout it, sing it, or whatnot, but I will say, Cleric of the Sentinel Hill is a really, really good story by Franklin Searight. There is also, which one were we both reading? I can't remember. Quiet on the Water by C.C. Adams. I believe we, Lobelia and I both read and found utterly spookily dookily, as our friends at Blurry Photos might say. But yes, there is Burn on the Bayou by L.F. Falconer, The Mumbler by Gillian French, Whores and Criminals by Dean McAllister, The Quiet on the Water by C.C. Adams. There is The Haggard Brothers Go to Town by James Pratt, The Awakening by Megan Newman, Deadline by D.C. Lozar, The Waterman's Song by M.B. Virgil, Malefactrum by Kelly Gould, Malefictrum by Kelly Gould, I should say, The Green Dome by Joe DeCio, We Who Walk on Worlds by Matt Sullivan, Insect Song by William T., The Harvest Moon Festival by Gigi Ng, Like Falling Snow by W.D. Clifton, The Oldest Story by S.L. Edwards, Geronimo vs. Frankenstein, Neil Privett, The Black and White Dozen by Chris Culotta, Omzetten by C.M. Mueller, Vandalgard's Globes by Jeremy Hayes, The Horde, this is poetry, by Chad Hensley, Beneath the Roads by John Joe Lopez, Let Them Have Dominion by Oliver Smith, Kristen, that's K-R-Y-S-T-N, by Clay F. Johnson, The Chimera by Chad Hensley, Stranded in Louisiana by Chad Hensley, Cryptid Shindig by Richard Stevenson, Guardians of the Seven Gates by Chad Hensley, and of course, The Great Old Ones by Daryl Schweitzer, which I also mentioned. Doug has a bit to say in the beginning, which is always quite lovely to hear what Doug has to say. Besides, I follow him on Facebook and, you know, find out what's going on and see pictures of his dog. It's a lot of fun. And so is Weird Book 36. It's got a beautiful cover of a spooky monster. And some really great illustrations throughout, as always. Huge, huge fan. Pick it up. Go to Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, Amazon.uk. You can also, I believe, go to Weird Book and, WildsidePress.com, as it is published by Wildside Press LLC. But yes, ooh, there's that bang. I believe it's around $12. I'm not quite sure, as I've said, I tend to get it for free. So that is pretty much all there is for this episode of People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. What's in the next episode? I don't recall. But we'll find out next time in episode 310? Or episode 610. Ooh, wait a minute. I will be covering K.A. Opperman's The Crimson Tome. We'll be talking about witches, and possibly even Lobelia will have a book report that I asked her to do about witches done. We'll see. We'll see. Thank you all for joining us once again. Thank you all for stepping into the Cthulhu Mythos with us and learning a thing or two, and I don't know, listening to us jabber on. Remember, you can check out the Patreon and donate a buck or five by going to patreon.com/PGTTCM. Or you can donate a buck or five via PayPal if you don't want to subscribe to something where you give us money monthly. You can go to PayPal and donate a buck or five at paypal.com. Or no, paypal.me, not paypal.com, paypal.me/PGTTCM. Of course, we've always got the store that you can purchase some of my artwork, my amazing, beautiful pictures of spooky stuff, a t-shirt that says PGTTCM on it, that has the logo I designed, and a whole bunch of other stuff. All right, thank you so much for listening, and you're probably done listening at this point.
Remember to stay squiggly. Keep it weird. The injected fluid produces growths throughout the victim's body that allow Galaki to manipulate the subject's course. Many people come to serve...
Can we get back to... go back to the injected fluid produces growths.
Yeah.
Because there was just like a, you hit the mic and it went gong.
Sure.
Yeah.
That is some tricky talking.
Yeah.
Red leather, yellow leather.